containing some strong language, it's time for Late Junction, presented by Fiona Talkington.
No grave can hold my body down.
My very last track this week from Knut Reijrud and Eva Klever, joined by Niels Innar Vinjer from the 1991 album Blå Koral, a mixture of blues, hymns and Norwegian folk tunes in stunning arrangements. And it's one of my favourite albums of all time. Coming up later tonight, there's the latest in our Late Junction collaboration sessions. Tonight, Loop Collective and Fringe Magnetics' Rory Simmons joins up with Fife Dangerfield of the Guillemots and the Gannets. We had a lot of fun in the studio a week or so ago and they came up with a lot of music. So prepare yourselves for a mammoth session and a chat with Rory and Fife as well. 1968 is the year of this track from the Incredible String Band from The Hangman's Beautiful Daughter. It's a reflection on life, love and amoebas in Mike Heron's A Very Cellular Song.
Winter was cold and the clothing was thin, but the gentle shepherd calls the tune. Oh dear mother, what shall I do? First please your eyes and then your ears, Jenny, exchanging love tokens, say good night. Lay down, my dear sister, won't you lay and take your rest? Won't you lay your head upon your Saviour's breast? And I love you, but Jesus loves you the best, and I bid you good night, good night, good night. Lord, I bid you good night, good night. One of these mornings bright early and fine, good night, good night. Not a cricket, not a spirit gonna shout me home, good night, good night. I go walking in the valley of the shadow of death, good night, good night. And his rod and his staff shall comfort me, good night, good night. Oh, John the wine, he saw this sign, good night, good night. Oh, John say I've seen a number of signs, good night, good night. Tell it for the art, that wonderful boat, good night, good night. No, they build it on the land, get water to float, good night, good night. Oh, tell before the beast at the ending of the wood, good night, good night. No, it eat all the children when they wouldn't be good, good night, good night. I remember quite well, I remember quite well, good night, good night. Now I was walking in Jerusalem just like John, good night, good night, good night. Good night, good night, good night, good night. Who would lose and who would bruise, or who would live quite prettily? Who would go nebulous nearnesses cry to me. At this timeless moment, someone dear to me wants me near, makes me high. I can hear vibrations fly through mangoes, pomegranates, and plains. All the same, when it reaches me, and teaches me to sigh.
Absolutely no strife, living the timeless life. I don't need a wife, living the timeless life. If I need a friend, I just give a wriggle, split right down the middle. And when I look, there's two of me, both as handsome as can be. Oh, here we go, slithering. Here we go, slithering and squelching on. Oh, here we go, slithering. Here we go, slithering and squelching on. Oh, I, you, there's absolutely no strife, living the timeless life.
Black hair, brown hair, feather and scale, seed and stamen and all unnamed lives that live. Turn your quivering nerves in my direction.
direction. Turn your quivering nuts in my direction. Turn your quivering nuts in my direction. Feel the energy. Projection of myself. Wishes you well. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you, all love surround you, and the pure light within you guide your way on. May the long time sun shine upon you.
The incredible string band from 1968 and Mike Heron's A Very Cellular Song. And we're into long tracks tonight, as you'll gather when we get to our Late Junction collaboration session with Fife Dangerfield and Rory Simmons. Do you remember I played you music by the British band Bus Noise a while back? I was really pleased to get their latest release, and I immediately fell for the title track By Tapering Torchlight. That title inspired by a passage from Simon Armitage's translation of Gawain and the Green Knight. Vibes player Martin Pine told me he'd been listening to the Trio Medieval's A Worcester Lady Mass as well when he was working on the piece. Joining Martin are Jeff Spencer on bass guitar, Trevor Davis on drums.
Thank you. szeretőm nézd a tél, elmúlt, nyílik a lilium, illata száll túl a hegyeken. Szép szemű szeretőm, nézd az őz a vízhez lép, lehajtja fejét, iszik és tovasz kenel illant rég. Vonj engem te magad után, fussunk már. Szép szemű szeretőm, nézd a tél elmúlt, nyílik a lilium, illata száll túl a hegyeken. Szép szemed éget, perzselőn, arany feketén, a nap nem hív és sürgetőn, nyár delején. Szép szemet fordíts tőlem el, megvakulok, fordítsd vissza, égess el arany feketén, tüzetben elporlattam, semmi vagyok. Szép szemed éget, perzselőn arany feketén, két karod átfog, átölel, játszik velem a hullámok az óceán, nem feledem. Két karod vedd el, bőrömmel emlékezem, fogd át derekam, fogj engem, ölej, tengeredben vízcsepp, az vagyok. Két karod átfog, átölel, játszik velem a
the gorgeous voice of Hungarian singer Beata Polya. My Dark-Eyed Lover, András Dess on Barón. Bea says that in her mind she was travelling in Morocco when she was writing the words, a place, she says, where blue meets green and the sky meets the earth. And before that, that was the title track from a new CD by Buznoise called By Tapering Torchlight. Martin Pine on vibraphone, Jeff Spencer on bass guitar and Trevor Davis on drums. They've got a release concert at the Stables in Wavendon on May the 8th and a launch event at MAP Studio Cafe in Kentish Town, North London, on the 10th of May. And that's going to be hosted by my Radio 3 colleague, Sarah Walker. This month's Late Junction collaboration session is coming up in a few minutes, bringing together Fife Dangerfield and Rory Simmons. Just before we go to that, here's the French pianist Perrine Mansuy's mischievous arrangement of Thelonious Monk's Rhythm a Ning from her album Vertigo Songs, and the singer is Marion Rompal.
Hey! You! You are! Some folks dance and others sing, others find the way to swing. Thelonious can do that, you listen to this guy, Rhythm a Ning. And it's a dance your feet can prove, you can make your body move. Thelonious can do that, you listen to this guy. You don't have to know how, just be like a loose goose. You want me to show how? Hey, you gotta turn your body loose. Some cats swing, but others don't. And you better not be the kind that won't, babe. The loners can do that. You listen to this cat, breathe them a knee.
Just be like a loose.
The pianist Perrine Moncy and the singer Marion Rompal with Perrine's arrangement of Thelonious Monk's Rhythm Aning. This is BBC Radio 3. You're listening to Late Junction, and it's time for the latest Late Junction collaboration session. We brought together Rory Simmons from Loop Collective and Fringe Magnetic and Fife Dangerfield from the Gannets and the Guillemots for what turned out to be a mammoth session. I won't say any more than that for now. The first piece is called I Can't Help What I Am.
I can't help what I am.
Fife Dangerfield, Rory Simmons, fantastic to have you here doing our Late Junction collaboration session. You've made a real mess of the studio. There are instruments absolutely everywhere. Yes. What have you brought along today?
Well, I've brought along an assortment of brass instruments. One that I only picked up earlier this week. So I've brought a trumpet, a flugelhorn, and a mellophone, which is kind of a defunct brass band instrument, which I told Fife I couldn't play it, but he encouraged me to bring it anyway because he liked the idea of that. And I've brought a guitar, Fender Tele, running through some pedals, then also an Ableton setup with some samplers and loops and things like that, which I'm triggering.
And Fife, what have you
I brought a Steinway grand piano with me.
I thought you would.
Keyboard, pedals, guitar. But I brought, which I'm really glad I brought, my old four-track, multi-track along. I've been really getting back into that. I used to make all my demos on cassette before I had a computer or anything. And I've just got literally bin bags full of tapes. And I sort of delved in and chose some random ones. And it's just a sound I love, like slowed down tapes. And it's just very evocative as well. Like, we have ended up using loads of them in the pieces.
It's
just
really
by chance, you know. Just...
Yeah, it's really helped to set the mood, I think, as well. Some of those just, you know, chance findings that Fife has triggered on tape, whether they've been slowed down or sped up or pitched up, they've really created a kind of atmosphere, haven't they?
Some of them have made me wonder what my mental state was 10 years ago.
Or your friend's
one bit
state.
When it's just me gibbering to myself for 10 minutes.
We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Well, that first piece we've just heard is, you know, very beautiful, very, very spacey. It could be the start of a two-hour track, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's just very evocative kind of sound world and something that... It was actually the sound check. It was a kind of sound check, what that tune was born out of. And it just felt very organic and... I don't know, after we played that, I just felt like this is going to be really fun.
I think more and more, you know, I feel as I get older, I know I'm much more confident about what I like as well. And I'm sort of, because having done, for me, you know, I grew up listening to the Beatles and pop songs and loving all that. And I'd always improvise, but I only sort of discovered the sort of improvised scene, if you like, when I was 19, 20 and so on. And I think for a while when I started doing gigs in that world, I almost felt terrified to sort of play a nice sounding chord. It would almost be like, I want to stare at you, like, what on earth are you doing? You know, this is improvised music. But I don't know, I know, like, I part of me always loves just simple gentle chords and things like that, but I love the combination of that with sort of eerie unsettling elements, and so I think that's sort of been a part of a lot of what we've been doing today. When I was playing the piano, I was just playing the same four chords over and over again or something, whereas you know Rory would be then playing stuff quite off that in a different. Fiona was saying about Charles Ives earlier on, and that's one of the biggest orchestral experiences I remember having watching. I think it's the Unanswered Question, maybe live, and I love that sound of feeling like that you're listening to two or three things going on at once, but each of them in their own right is really beautiful. But it's that clash between them that causes something really emotional. You know,
to visualise. I think some of those ideas that were like watching. Like little mobiles in a child's bedroom, sort of spinning different speeds, you know. And also they were quite sort of nursery rhyme like as well, I guess. But yeah, with this kind of macabre kind of twist. So you had all these different things which were slowly revolving, but slightly different speeds, and all kind of pretty in their own right. But when pushed together, hopefully not quite as pretty.
I began to feel that I wanted you to go somewhere more dangerous with the music and to have these clashes.
Yeah.
And I think we really get that in the second piece, which I absolutely love.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit more about that and how we arrived there.
Well, it just started again with some simple chords, but then a seagull landed by chance on the multi-track. And that sort of seemed to take it into a different direction. And then, ended up my friend Chris talking into the dictaphone from years ago about San Francisco or something.
I think, it was like those found sounds really helped direct the narrative of the piece of music, even though, obviously, mine and Fife's understanding of the narrative is totally different because he knows the people and what they were talking about or what they weren't talking about. But still, it kind of directed a narrative for us along the way to create something.
And there's something really spontaneous about it. And when you're working on this very short studio time and the clock is ticking all the time and we're putting pressure on you to produce a piece of music, and then you come up with this musical journey, which is a different way of working from going away to record an album and spending weeks over it. Was that a very different feeling?
I mean, it is different, but to be honest, in all music for me that I'm involved in, I try and more and more have that spontaneity. I mean, in Guillemots we've been recording things recently, but more and more it's about keeping that spontaneity. And I actually think it's awful to go away for months on end working on the same piece of music. I can't do it. I get so bored. And I just start changing things because I'm bored of it. You know, but I think the root of all music is spontaneity. It doesn't mean that you can't plan things and write them over years, but still the genesis of it is an idea that just comes out of nowhere. I think music is sort of stretching out essentially a feeling that lasts for a fraction of a second. You know, that's kind of how I see it almost.
Thank you. Well, basically, you know, I just rolled down the street one day and I found out that I no longer kind of was who I was. And all of a sudden, out of my top left pocket of my, what at the time, crat, I had left Hodpin home and I'd the fakenity with, you know, pale expression. And because it's like the rope and it never fucking ends. We're in San Francisco, baby.
Thank you very much.
Fife Dangerfield, Rory Simmons doing a Late Junction collaboration session for us, and that was I Was No Longer Who I Was. I do like your titles. You both bring with you, I guess for the listener, a lot of musical expectations. Fife from the Guillemots and the Gannets, and Rory from Fringe Magnetic, all your work with Loop Collective and the different ensembles. But coming together, you two, I suppose it was a blank canvas. How did you decide that what you wanted to bring, how you wanted to work together?
Well, we met up and had a couple of pints and had a chat. Yeah. And I mean, I don't know. I'm glad because I felt if you start thinking about it too much, you know, you're like, oh God, we have no idea what we're going to be playing. But I think both me and Rory have done quite a lot of improvised gigs and so on. And it's liberating turning up to a studio and having no idea what you're going to end up with. I think it was more important, we felt, almost just to meet up and get to know each other slightly before, rather than sort of discussing, you know, which key we'd be playing in or anything like that, you know.
I mean, well, we sort of sent a few things across, but it was really just to sort of establish what kind of sonic page we were on, rather than...
the sonic
phrase,
page,
isn't it? That should be the name of the album, perhaps. but yeah, sort of establish what sound world we were in, rather than establishing, like Fife says, what key we're in, because we're always in different keys at the same time anyway, I think.
That's our thing.
But
I think, I mean, the thing about improvised music that I think is so fascinating, because you get, you know, a lot of contemporary composers will try and incorporate that improvisational element and so on, and that's why it's often quite a difficult area, because I think what's special about when you're improvising is you are searching, and then when you suddenly land on these moments when it just comes together, there's this incredible joy that you feel as a player in that, because you're like, God, now it's really working. And I think that sort of gives it an exuberance that you wouldn't get if you sort of sat down and imagined the same chords with the same sounds. I think there's something about indefinable when you're playing like that. I think that's what I love about improvising, that it is searching and then finding, and you can't control it. People want to control things all the time, and what I love about improvising, you can't. It's nothing to do with you. You're at the mercy of something else.
And it's interesting when we're sort of, you know, when you are improvising with somebody and there's the push and pull of playing something which is very discordant and something which is totally tonal and nice. And it's interesting when you're kind of not always on that same page, is not always trying to create something dissonant at the same time, or not always trying to create something tonal at the same time. But yet, that gives it an energy as well. The fact you're kind of fighting each other, but it's not a fight, it's just a...
Yeah.
It's kind of finding your place in that balance of when the music's going to rest. Yeah, it's like a seesaw, when the music's going to rest.
We're going into the third and final piece you've done for us today. And this is yet another really interesting collection of your musical ideas and the way you've developed over the course of quite a short time today.
And also ideas of, I mean, it's funny, some of the stuff I've found on the tapes. Like on the last piece, there was my friend Chris, who plays in Gannets, who was mumbling into a dictaphone, and then I found my friend Kirsty on this one. I don't think I've ever even heard this. We used to just pass dictaphones around and talk nonsense. But yes, no, it was an interesting one. Well, there's a typewriter sample as well that you were playing with.
Yeah, I kind of used a typewriter sample, which I sort of detuned as we were going and then kind of set it off at different times just to kind of create this sort of polyphonic thing while Fife was playing. The series of quite, you know, as we were talking about earlier, quite tonal chords. So there were these two things fighting against each other.
And what? How much has the fact that you're doing this for Late Junction made a difference to the music you're making? Because I know you both listen and you take on board quite a lot of what we do. Has that meant something to you?
I don't know. My initial reaction is yes, it has. But actually, I can't really imagine us being in a room and improvising and anything much different.
No, I mean, I actually don't think in terms of the way we played, it was hugely influential, but I'm just really happy to be on Late Junction. Yeah. I sound really sycophantic. I listen to this program all the time. It's really nice.
Yeah, it's so great. It's great to be. Yeah. So I guess in a way, I mean, my initial reaction was yes, but I think, like I say, I can't really imagine if we'd got in a room with these instruments on any other show. I think.
Well, because also on this show, there's not really any sense of any
there's
music.
There's no expectation.
Any music. Well, there's not a sense of any music you couldn't have other than it's open, so I didn't sort of feel like, oh, we can't do that because it wouldn't be suitable for the program. I didn't really think
it was such a sort of open palette for us to explore, you know.
It's all right, you've said all the right things. So the final piece is called
Charlie's Shoes stroke the typing pool.
Or the wasn't it the retro business center,
the retro business
the
center was awesome.
Title
yeah.
but yeah. That takes a lot of explaining, so
we think there's a film in there somewhere. Anyway, Fife and Rory, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't think that'd be very good in the winter time because it'd be a bit drafty to say the least. Yes.
Yes.
It's quite weird how the sort of field bends. Sort of bends and you think you've got to the end of it and you haven't because it's like the corner and you have to go round it. Ooh, dodge the poo. Yet again, my friend. Wah. Oh, yet another big hole as well. Ooh, like deja vu. I think maybe I've been here before, when actually I haven't. Oh, I smell poo on my shoes, and I don't think Charlie's going to be very happy because they're not my shoes, they're his shoes. Wasp in my ear. Ooh, go away.
Thank you.
Charlie's Shoes and Typing Pool, ending this month's Late Junction collaboration session with Fife Dangerfield and Rory Simmons. And thanks so much to Fife and Rory for a fantastic day's music making. And that's available as a podcast from the Radio 3 website. Fife and I were talking about flutes a few weeks ago, and Fife pointed me in the direction of Eric Dolphy's You Don't Know What Love Is. And particularly, he said, listen to the last few minutes, which just sound like birdsong. So I'm going to end tonight with just that from Eric Dolphy's last concert recorded in 1964 in Holland. There's no Late Junction next week during Radio 3's The Spirit of Schubert, but Verity will be back the week after that. And don't forget, you can always catch up with us on the BBC iPlayer. Good night.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. This opening concert tonight from the Berwald Hall in Stockholm, the home of the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra, and also of Daniel Harding, who's been the orchestra's principal conductor since 2007. Well, here they are in December 2009 in a famous Mozart symphony in a minor key, his number 40 in G minor. Mozart was in trouble financially when he wrote the symphony, troubled by dark thoughts too, and several musicologists have heard these dark thoughts in Mozart's 40th. Though not everyone, Robert Schumann talked about the weightlessness and Hellenic grace. And musicologist Donald Tovey even thought there were similarities between the symphony and opera buffa